Hi, I'm Tom Power. Welcome to Toy Harp, a podcast about bluegrass. This is the last episode of season two. Here from Nashville is my conversation with Allison Krauss.
I remember, you know, the first time I looked out in the audience and saw people singing words to our songs that only we had recorded. That was just a really crazy moment. Just never thought it'd end up being there. Never thought we'd hear back from Rounder. Yeah. Never thought we would hear from Rounder in the first place.
If this is your first time listening, you can hear full interviews with Jerry Douglas, Allison Brown, Bela Fleck, Larry Sparks, Jody Stecker, and so many more wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Later on.
From BGS, thebluegrasssituation.com, you're listening to The Shift List, where chefs talk about the music that fills their kitchens, restaurants, and recipes. I'm Chris Jacobs. Peter and Lauren Lemos are the co-owners of one of LA's best lunch spots, Wax Paper Sandwich Company, operating in LA's Frogtown neighborhood since 2015. Now married, they met back in 2012 while working in a restaurant in downtown Los Angeles. Peter cooked and Lauren served, and Wax Paper evolved from Peter and Lauren's dream of opening a simple yet delicious neighborhood sandwich shop. And LA's taken notice. Their Ira Glass sandwich, named of course after the venerable host of This American Life, all of their sandwiches are named for an NPR correspondent, it should be noted, was named Best Veggie Sandwich by Los Angeles Magazine in 2016, among other accolades. More important, Wax Paper is the kind of place where everyone immediately feels like a regular, or at least aspires to be one someday, which may have something to do with the fact that it's a pretty intimate place, just 226 square feet to be precise, and music plays an important role in creating a warm and welcoming vibe. I spoke to Peter and Lauren after a shift at the shop back in May.
Hi there, my name is Peter Lemos, and this is my wife.
Hi, Lauren Lemos. And we're from Wax Paper, a little sandwich shop on the LA River in Elysian Valley, also known as Frogtown.
Yeah, Wax Paper is a tiny shop, 226 square feet. Looks like a shipping container. Basically, that's the dimensions.
You know, Wax Paper is musically, like, we came up with that name partially because of music. It is like wrapping your sandwiches in wax paper, but Peter's whole idea behind it too was that records, wax, records being made of wax, and us being so influenced and in love with music to an abnormal degree. So that's incorporated in that too.
Yeah. There's not really a kitchen per se. There's just like a big prep area where we make everything. And then the front area, maybe 50 square feet or something where customers can stand. And so there's not really a differentiation between like where the customers are and the people that are working there, which is why we tend to go back to, you know, 80s and 90s, because that's when really like our customers were kids themselves. And so we think it puts them in a happy place to hear a song. And it's happened before where people come in and they say, they hear this song and they say like, oh my God, I love this song. Or, you know, oh, I can't believe you're playing this song right now. As opposed to stuff that, you know, we love, like it couldn't just be like One by Metallica all the time with guitar solos. Which I would love. That's a dream for me. But, you know, it doesn't really set the welcoming precedent that we'd like for customers to come into the shop. Usually there's a lot of Depeche Mode, Duran Duran, New Order.
Gin Blossoms.
Gin Blossoms. Nick Kershaw will come on, which I particularly love. That kind of stuff. We get into the shop around 9:30 in the morning, and Mikey and Ben are usually there in the mornings to get everything set up.
Yeah, Mikey's our main man, Mayonnaise. He runs the register, and he's awesome. And Ben, same thing. Also a main man, if there could be two. He makes the sandwiches.
They usually have music playing, probably some hip-hop lately. They're into sort of underground, intellectual, thought-provoking hip-hop, so that's usually playing when we get to the shop in the mornings, and that's usually, until we open, that's usually what's playing. Pusha T just put out a new album, and they've been listening to that in the mornings. This thing of ours, oh, this thing of ours, a fraternity of drug dealers ringing off. I just happen to be alumni, too legit, they still looking at me with one eye. They both really love MF Doom, so they always have stuff on that that we, Lauren and I, may not have heard of before, and it's always cool to see what they're listening to.
I be laughing at the beef as though I'm body shaming exes. Only time you said trip is when you binge on Netflix. Reckless, running up like, yes, so listen, please. All right, I like the beat, except the snare kicking keys. Jeez, I teach, but I can't.
When we're opening, it really kind of depends on our mood. If we're kind of feeling really busy, I think we generally put on a little bit of probably 80s or 90s nostalgia to make us, you know, just kind of relax a little bit. If we're more energetic, then it'll be some more early 2000s, like pop punk that we grew up with and love. I think the pop punk is particularly relevant to us because that's one of the things that we bonded over when we first started dating, that shared love of that music. Blink-182 is a big one. Saves the Day, Taking Back Sunday.
No Effects, Less Than Jake, No Use for a Name, Lagwagon.
Newfound Glory. Newfound Glory is going on concert again for like the millionth time. We're actually going to go see them later this month. I think we're going to take Mikey and Ben with us, so that'll be fun.
They're both like, they both have that soft spot for that kind of music too. They're both super into it, Mikey especially. So my day-to-day is, or my job, if you will, is from a general standpoint, front of the house. Peter's back of the house. That's how we met, working in a restaurant. That's where we were, and that's kind of what we realized works best for us, and those are our fortes. But if you walked in on me by myself, I would be blasting the Emo Project, which is a Sirius XM station that just centers focus on like Taking Back Sunday and all kinds of emo bands from that time.
We just heard of like the newest song. They have a single out called Tidal Wave, which is pretty cool. I like it a lot. It's a lot more like rock, straight ahead rock and roll.
What's
cute, cute without the E?
Yeah, like their song titles are really obscure.
Yeah.
It's been so long since it was.
They were kind of on the first wave of that. I don't know if you remember, like, all those early 2000 bands, they had, like, the emo bands always had the most obscure, like, paragraph-long song titles, and it just has nothing to do with the song, but they just, like, made it up.
Right. But sometimes you do, and you're like, whoa, I didn't know that was the name of that song, you know? I'm going to reference this playlist that we have called, it's our very first playlist for the shop, and it's West Coast Pop Lock is what we've called it, which is the name of a song, a really good song from the 70s or 80s, I think. But this is a funny mix because there's 260 songs on here, and you know, you can hear anything from like New Shoes, I Can't Wait, to Billie Holiday, to Cher, to Belle and Sebastian, to Mark Ronson, or Gin Blossoms. But one of my favorite elements of this playlist is Peter put, I think it was like 60 TV themes that are just essentially MIDI files or like bad, bad covers, because I think those are so copyrighted that you can't even get the original version unless you like YouTube it.
It's awesome. When people are in the shop, it's really busy, and it's, we're playing a playlist, and then it's like Home Improvement comes on. I get a little laugh. I get a little kick out of
nowhere.
That.
Or for some reason, Curb Your Enthusiasm theme loves to come on, like, and it'll
after
always...
a moment, after like a Larry David moment in the shop, that song will come on.
Yeah, if we're in the weeds or something.
Art imitating life. Before I started getting into cooking, of course, I was like, I had a band in high school with some friends, and I was like, this is it. We should do this. We should make this band happen. And then, you know, kind of fizzles away and you realize other passions that you may have. The name of the band was Imperfect.
All right.
Shout out Imperfect.
Gotta tell the tattoo story now.
And that was the first tattoo I got, which is on my body. And it's very large and it says Imperfect. And it was the very first tattoo that I got, and my mother was devastated.
But the best part is when we went to London for our honeymoon, and we got matching tattoos, like, just, let's seal the deal. Peter asked the tattoo artist if he could add an apostrophe in between the I and the M, so it would say, I'm perfect. And he was like, absolutely not, won't do that for you. It's just like...
I'm still going to do it.
So pretentious. We actually have a few matching tattoos. We have Jimmy World lyrics, the same ones. Mm-hmm. For me, this is heaven, which is not the name of that song.
It's the name of the song.
Oh, yeah. It is the name of the song. Yeah. And we have an Against Me inspired tattoo. It's they have a song called Two Coffins, which Laura Jane Grace wrote for her daughter. But we just find it to be beautiful and work for our relationship too. So it's, we have two little headstones that say you and me. And then our other tattoo is also a musical. It's Yes, and it's on the back of our arm. And that is actually a musical because we did get the tattoo the day after we got engaged. That is true. But we were with our friend Aaron, Peter's best man, in the car. And Peter kind of just said out of nowhere, Aaron, if we got a tattoo, what would it be? Well, we had just listened to Yes by LMFAO. And Aaron just went, it would be Yes. Like, it has to be Yes for them, for this, for that. So we all went and got a Yes tattoo. And that's kind of like the story behind that. It's on and popping, yes. The party's rocking, yes. The cutie's shocking, yes. And there ain't no stopping, yes. It's on and popping, yes. The party's rocking, yes. The cutie's shocking, yes. And there ain't no stopping.
Originally, I guess with chefs and tattoos, early in, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, early 90s, like working in restaurants was not what one thought to do with their life. That was not something that you, I want to be a chef. I'm going to go to culinary school. That didn't happen. You were into a restaurant job because you can't work anywhere else. And, you know, you'd been just out of prison and no one would hire you. And maybe you've had a lot of tattoos. Maybe you were like in a motorcycle gang or something. I guess maybe that's a little bit where that sort of counterculture comes into the restaurant society. But then also now I think tattoos are pretty trendy and it's acceptable to have tattoos now.
Yeah, if you're so a musician or
if you're creative, it's kind of a outward symbol, I would say, of someone who says like, I don't march to the beat of my own drummer or something sort of. I think that's kind of what chefs and musicians probably have in common. And I think that's a big reason why those two professions have tattoos.
I think too, like outside looking in for Peter, I mean, Peter is just, he has to have music on at all times. And I mean, it is such a huge part of his life. Music is definitely like background for me. I mean, it's a huge part of my life, but I need to always have it in the background too. Like I always need some kind of music if I'm cleaning or if I'm doing something. But Peter will have earbuds or he'll have, you know, any way that he can find a stereo or something, he'll have music on. And the way that I see it influence you cooking wise is probably mainly that when you work in the kitchen, there's always tunes. Like you can have music playing in the kitchen because the front of the house has their own music going on and you can't really hear the music in the kitchen. So they'll have the radio on, or they'll have something on. I can't believe you didn't mention Metallica because that's like such a huge thing. But when I see you cutting stuff and listening to music, it is rhythmic. It is kind of like, I think it eases you and I think it helps you kind of like, especially if it's a long day of cooking or something, it kind of just helps you turn your
brain off. It's a huge stress release to listen to some of our favorite music. It's just calming. Even if it's aggressive, it's still calming. I think my attraction with Metallica or my attraction with more aggressive music is because I'm not like that in real life. Like it's really hard for me to be angry or to sort of demonstrate sort of, you know, more aggressive emotions like that in real life. I tend to be more inward, but I think that's my attraction to that kind of music, is that sort of lets that stress out by listening to that sort of heavier music. I think that's a big part of my attraction to it. And it's not bad stress or good stress. It's just sort of, you know, like going through life and dealing with situations. When those kind of, you know, Metallica comes on or something, it's just like, yeah, I feel good. I feel empowered. I feel like I can, you know, it's going to be okay. We can do this, you know? Darkness imprisoning me. All that I see. Absolute horror. I cannot live. I cannot die. Dressing myself. Fighting my own fear.
Thanks to Peter and Lauren Lemos of Wax Paper Sandwich Company. Stop by their shop in LA's Frogtown neighborhood next time you're in the city. And check out their menu at waxpaperco.com. You can also head over to thebluegrasssituation.com for a link to Peter and Lauren's shift list, including all of the music you heard on this episode and more, or stream it on Spotify by subscribing to BGS's playlist. The Shift List is produced by me, Chris Jacobs. Our executive producer is Amy Reitnauer, with help, as always, from the entire BGS team, including marketing guru Joseph Klingel, social media director Justin Hiltner, and all the amazing writers and contributors that make BGS the best source for roots culture redefined. If you love The Shift List, please leave us a review or rating over at itunes.com/shiftlist. And also be sure to check out BGS's ever-growing collection of podcasts up right now at thebluegrasssituation.com. The Shift List is a part of the BGS Podcast Network. I'm Chris Jacobs. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Cindy Howes and Lizzie Ngo from the podcast Basic Folk, honest conversations with folk musicians.
Basic Folk is truly changing the game with our well-researched deep dives that aim to empower the listener while fostering the folk community.
I basically am writing worship music for youth group rejects.
Maternal regrets and maternal guilt are universal.
I try to make things that are beautiful and that are made with like a purity of intention.
You can listen to Basic Folk on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or at basicfolk.com.